Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Would you like to sit down? Let's pray. Father God, help us to see you at work in all things and in all people. As we explore your word to us today, may it fill our lives and shape our future. Amen. So during his ministry, Jesus seems to do a bit of mountain climbing with Peter, James, and John. When they get to the top of the mountain, he's transfigured before them. The word transfigured means changed. His appearance changes, he's shining with light. And alongside him, there are the figures of Moses and Elijah, also shining with light. And Jesus' glory in that moment is shown to this little group of his disciples. It reveals God at work, the Trinity in action. And you also hear the voice of God speaking of Jesus in the midst of a cloud of the Holy Spirit. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him," says God. This week we move from the season of Epiphany into Lent. And our journey with Jesus takes a turn. We're going to move from the visible glory we see on the mountain today, and we take the long road to Jerusalem, and we start to think about Jesus dying on the cross. And the transfiguration probably feels a bit like an Old Testament story rather than a direct story about Jesus. We've got two key figures from the Old Testament here. We've got Moses and Elijah. They represent the law, which is Moses, and the prophets, which is Elijah. There's also a few other things going on in the different stories of the Transfiguration that might remind us of some Old Testament stories. The story today begins with the words, "Six days later." We're reminded here of creation, but it's also the story about Moses going up the Mount Sinai to receive the commandments of God. We've got the cloud representing God coming down and surrounding Moses with that cloud. There's the voice of God speaking, all of which takes us back to God revealing himself to Moses on Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. Go forward in the Bible to the book of Kings and the life and ministry of Elijah, and there were really similar experiences there as well. And Matthew's telling of the Transfiguration seems to connect what Jesus is doing with Moses, all about the fulfilling of the law. If you read different accounts, they tell it ever so slightly differently. Mark's gospel, for example, puts Elijah first and then Moses. But in both those accounts, just like Moses, Jesus has a shining face. Moses and Elijah in their lifetimes both had encounters with God on mountaintops. So maybe it's fitting that they should appear alongside Jesus in the story of the Transfiguration. Because like Moses and Elijah, Jesus is also having his own mountaintop experience of God. But there's a real difference between Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Because we have to remember that Jesus is divine. He shines with the glory of God. Moses and Elijah both had experiences of encountering God, but Jesus is different because Jesus is God being fulfilled. In other words, the law and the prophets aren't rejected or repeated. In Jesus, the law and the prophets are fulfilled. So the whole life and ministry of Moses and Elijah comes to its fulfillment, its ending in Jesus. Jesus elsewhere in the Bible says, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but I've come to fulfill them." And then Peter jumps in the way again with yet another one of his misguided interjections. He wants to make it real. He wants to take this experience and hold on to it. So he suggests building the tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It's as though he can't get rid of this experience that he's seeing in front of him, and he's got to keep holding on to it forever. Imagine Peter standing there and seeing Jesus shining with light, blinding light coming into his face, seeing God really at work. If you were there as Peter, wouldn't you actually want to do the same and hold on to the experience, feeling the light shining around you? Of course, you'd want to cling on to it. Peter speaks, and then he's cut off by the cloud overshadowing all of them on top of that mountain. And words come from out of the cloud. "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And if you've heard those words before, it's because they come earlier in the gospel. Exactly the same words are spoken at Jesus' baptism when the voice like the dove comes out of the cloud. "This is my Son, listen to him." So we hear the voice of God at Jesus' baptism, and we see God at work again in the Transfiguration. The voice of the Father identifies Jesus as his Son. The Holy Spirit, which was represented by a dove at Jesus' baptism, is represented here, this time, by a cloud. If we think of the dove as the message from God, the cloud is the way in which that message is communicated. It shows the spirit of God's love for his Son, Jesus. And so we celebrate this connection between the baptism of Jesus and the Transfiguration of Jesus by marking them at this point of the year, the first and the last Sundays of the season of Epiphany. So it begins, but it also ends with God represented as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. His baptism was the point at which Jesus' earthly ministry really began. The Transfiguration is not the end of his ministry. Instead, it's a bit of a turning point. From now on, we follow Jesus on his journey towards Jerusalem and the cross. It's impossible, I think, for us to picture ourselves being fully there, seeing that glory that was revealed in Jesus at the Transfiguration. Other gospel writers, Mark says that Jesus' clothes became radiant, intensely white, as though no light could bleach them. Maybe telling us that no matter how often we wash our clothes or try and purify ourselves, we'll never be as bright as Jesus. But that reminds us that Jesus is God and we're not. We've sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But only Jesus, the Word made flesh, suffered and endured temptation without sin. That's why there's a connection between Jesus' glory on the top of the mountain and his subsequent journey to the cross. Only Jesus, as the sinless one, could serve as the lamb to be slain, the one who took the punishment for our sins. Only Jesus could enter our darkness, and only Jesus can win our salvation and our freedom on the cross. So we turn now and we follow him to Jerusalem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.